with Yitzhak Horowitz, Pirkei Avos, Perek Sheni, second part of Yud Gimel.
One talk is how to understand what is in the Torah. How to explain it, how to interpret it. So that's one part of Rachamim Yisrael, but the other part is to add and say not only you should not eat cattle with milk, you should not eat also chicken with milk. Meat of a bird, it's also not allowed, but it's the Rabbanan. Again, I'll repeat it for you. According to the Torah, you're not allowed to eat meat of beef or of a goat or of a lamb with milk.
Mm-hmm.
That's according to the Torah. And if you do it, it's a very derisive. But what about chicken with meat, with milk? You're allowed. According to the Torah, you're allowed.
Yeah, but once the rebbein came out, now you're
but
not allowed.
Came Chachma Yisrael, right. And said you're not. But it's a big difference, because if you eat meat of the beef with milk, you're doing a very derisive.
Right.
And if you're eating chicken with milk, you're doing a very derabana. It's different. It's not the same. And there's also a nafkamina. It's a different in halacha when you have a doubt. When you're not sure. You're not sure if it's, you know, your wife comes to you and says, you know, I think by mistake I poured a bit of milk in the cholent. But I'm not sure. Maybe it wasn't milk. Maybe it did pour, maybe it didn't pour. You know, it's a doubt. So the rabbi would ask you, in this cholent, what did you have there? Meat of a beef?
Meat of chicken.
Or of chicken. And it's a big difference. If it's a beef, you're not allowed to eat it. It's a doubt of the rice. But if it's chicken, you're allowed. It's a doubt of the rabbanon. Safek the rice is the chumah, safek the rabbanon is the kula.
I was used to hearing this in the States all the time.
What?
The modern Orthodox Jew hears this, what you just said. I said, well, I can do it because it's not a thing coming down from the Torah. It sounds like the ones that believe in, what do they call them,
Karaites?
The ones...
Karaites.
They became Kohenim and everything.
Stukim.
It sounds like the same thing now.
Why?
Because they're saying Torah Sukkotzav, they follow. It shows Shalbamah, which is a rebellion. I'm saying, well, there's a leniency on
there. There is a difference. We follow the rabbis. We do it. I mean, we don't eat chicken with milk. We don't do it. We don't cook chicken with milk. It's not allowed, and we keep it. But if you have a doubt, suffix double nekula, that's the rule. That's all. When you have a doubt, we're not sure. It's every time, always. If you have a doubt if you lit Hanukkah candles or not. You always light Hanukkah. Mm. Why, if you're not sure, you forgot either or some mistake? If you have a doubt, you don't have to do it.
Mm.
If you didn't do it, you do it. You have to do it. No doubt, you do it. But if you have a doubt, it's a big difference. That's the law. If it's suffolk the raisa, a suffolk in the midst of the raisa is the homer. You do it. Suffolk the rabbanon, you don't have to. If you want to do it, we don't have to. It's a big difference.
Yes,
what?
Suffolk, right. Right. I mean, it's not one of. Right. It's not one of ignorance. In other words, it's not like, you know, well, I, you know, I'm ignorant of the law, and I don't. So I just won't. I mean,
sure.
But the or I think Yehezkel's concern. I mean, that there might be some people who think, oh, it's only Rabbanan.
No, we don't make this division.
Right.
We don't make it. We do it all. We lit candle, Hanukkah candles, and we don't eat meat with it. And we go only to a heksher that also careful about this, not to have also bosel b'cholov off. Also, no difference for us. No difference for us. But in the halachic processes, rabbis, no, when you have the questions. Always the idea. You should never forget. This is the right. This is the wrong. It's always
the same. Okay, I'm not gonna get punished. So what the heck?
You are gonna get punished.
But not as great as the other one.
I don't know. Maybe the same.
Mm-hmm.
If it's the Rabbanon, no big difference. I mean,
so that's why I feel. That's why he's bringing up Shema and tefillah to let us know that both of the
but
same.
But listen, soon we'll have it, we'll talk about it, right. Okay? In a minute we'll talk about tefillah. But why I wanted to say that Chachmei Yisrael, the Chachamim, have two powers. They have authority of how to understand the Torah, what it says in the Torah. And that's what we learned about. Lo b'shamayim hi. It's not Hashem decides. It's not the sky decides. It's not the bat kol decides. It's Chachmei Yisrael who decide how to understand the Torah. Yes. That's one form. That's one power they have. They have another power to do new mitzvahs, new takanot, new hachakot. They can do a mitzvah, and you know when you light near Chanukah, you say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Shekidushon b'mitzvoisov. We say Hashem ordered it. You don't say Chachmei Yisrael ordered it, because the Torah says Chachmei Yisrael can do it. It's like Hashem did it, but still, it's not the same. Okay. And if you have a mitzvah d'oraisa and mitzvah d'rabbanon, it's not sure that you do the mitzvah and don't do the mitzvah. It doesn't work that way. It's the same level. It's just that when you have a suffix, it's different. It has different halachot. Now you asked about tefillah, about davening. So now I want to read the Rambam. Okay? But I'll begin with a question. First I'll read the Rambam. Okay? The Rambam says davening is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Let's not forget it. Tefillah is a mitzvah d'oraisa.
All the tefillah?
Oh. Not
or
davening 3 days.
Krishma.
Krishma for sure is d'oraisa.
Right.
It's not tefillah.
Listen
a minute. Krishma is not tefillah. Krishma is not davening. It's not praying. Saying Krishma, it's not a prayer. It's reading Shema Yisrael. You have to do it twice a day.
So
it says in the Torah, "B'shach b'chol v'kumecha," when you wake up and when you go to sleep, right? Twice a day you have to read Krishna, and it's a mitzvah d'oraisa of reading Krishna. It's not a mitzvah of praying; it's a mitzvah of reading Krishna. It's for yourself, and so you should remember that there's a myth that we believe in Hashem. It's the basis of Judaism. That's Krishna. But then there's a mitzvah of praying. Okay. Now the mitzvah is praying. Let's read the Rambam inside. Rambam says like this: Mitzvat aser litpalel b'chol yom. There's a mitzvah to daven and pray every day. Once. How do we know it? Because it says, "Va'avadtem et Hashem Elokechem." It says in the Torah that you should worship Hashem. And what's the way of worshiping? Worshiping is through praying. Why? Because it says, "Le'ovdo b'chol levavchem." You should worship Hashem with all your heart. Now, how do you worship Hashem with all your heart? How do you do it?
Tefillah.
Through praying. Avodah shebalev. And that's a way of praying through your heart. But, he's adding, en minat tefillot minat Torah. There's no number in the Torah how much you should pray. And there's no way, the Torah doesn't say how much times a day you should pray. And it has no timing. Just pray once a day, that's it. Whenever you feel it. That's what it says. And this mitzvah is how? How do you do this mitzvah from the Torah? What's the way of doing it? Of fulfilling it? The Rambam says. Sheyehe adam mitpalel umetchan b'chol yom. You should pray and beg Hashem. Pray and cry in front of Hashem every day. And you should say the praise of Hashem. And then, after you say the praises of Hashem, you should also start to ask what you need. Whatever you need. And you should do it with begging, with asking. And then you pray Hashem of what He gave you. Meaning, according to what the Rambam says, prayer is, it has two parts. One part is you should pray Hashem of His greatness and of what He gave you. The other part is asking, begging. Okay? That's how you should pray. That's the way of prayer. That's what the Rambam says. If you used to talk, you know how to talk, you know how to ask. You should pray as much as you can. How can you express yourself? But if you can't really express yourself as you can, because you aral svatayim, as it says, you're not talkative, Anyway, you should pray once a day as you can. Some could pray a lot, some could pray a bit, some many times. And you should always pray towards the Beis HaMikdash. That's how you should pray. Meaning, whenever you are and you feel it, head yourself to Beis HaMikdash. You know, there's some rabbis who sometimes, you know, they... Not in the tefillah itself. They feel better, they feel something, want of Hashem something. Yeah? Let's say you see sometimes women or boys or men sitting in the hospital praying for help for the beloved that's now in operation. Sometimes we forget it. But they say they look in the tefillah and pray Hashem. The Rambam says, don't forget. You should head yourself towards the Beis HaMikdash.
Have your mind facing it.
Face yourself to the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.
Face or have your mind facing it?
He says you should face yourself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So even when you know, just say Tehillim or something, try and face yourself to the Beis HaMikdash. Uh-huh. Because that's tefillah. Yeah? But and it says that's how they used to pray always from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until Ezra Sof and Anshe Knesset Sukkot. That's how they used to do. You know, you felt it once a day, you prayed, and you faced yourself to the Beis HaMikdash. That's how you did it. But then what happened? Kevan shegalu Yisrael b'bnei Nebuchadnezzar. Once the first temple was destructed, and Am Yisrael went to exile in Babel in times of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were mixed in Persia and Greek and the other nations, and their children in the lands of the Gentiles, and those children they could not they forgot Hebrew. They already spoke already languages in Aramaic and languages of Greek and so on and so on. Some speaking Jewish language, some not speaking Jewish language, and everyone had a different language. So, and we didn't have any Beis HaMikdash anymore. That's when Ezra Sofen is basing. That's Anshe Knesset Gedolim. It's the same thing. Said, well, let's do Shmona Esrei in Hebrew, 18 blessings, the 18 blessings, according to the order. And that will be an order. It begins with prayers of Hashem, and then you ask from Hashem what you need, and then you end with praise with blessing of Hashem what He gave you in the past. So these parts of the tefillah are combined, and they put it in Hebrew. Everyone could say it in Hebrew, and everyone could say it in every way, and that's the Shmona Esrei. And then they said, well, this Shmona Esrei should be, as we said yesterday, should be 3 times a day. Why? Keneged HaKorbanot. Because we don't have any more... Yeah, we don't have any more Korbanot. So let's say it 3 times a day against the Korbanot. Because you had also 3 Korbanot. You had Tmidim, you have the beginning of the day, the end of the day. They had beginning of the day, the end of the day. And then you had also the middle of the day. And that's how you do it. So that they said you dam shachwis, you dam minchin, you dam mayu against the korbanot, and that's Am Yisrael took it on itself as chova that you must do it. That you daven 3 times a day, the morning, evening, and night, and in that way you have 3 times a day davening. And these 3 times a day you prayed every day. You must do it because takana of chachamim, and you don't change it. And that's what you should do. Okay? That's as we explained yesterday. The basic mitzvah is pray once a day from your heart. Avodah Shebaleh. But came Ezra Sofer and they said you should do it. First of all, should be in Hebrew, Shmona Esrei. Why they did it this way? Because languages changes and everyone spoke different languages. They put 18 blessings, 18 davenings, parts of prayer. I said you do it 3 times a day against the korbanot. We don't have korbanot. This isn't against the korbanot. Okay, so you have 2 parts of tefillah. So now my question is this way: what if your wife asks you, "Do I have a mitzvah of praying or not?" What would you say?
It's not a time, since it's not time bound. I mean, since it's time bound, so then she technically
good
doesn't
question.
Have.
We know that every mitzvah that is timed, like let's say mitzvah of tzitzis,
yeah,
feeling that you have to do it on the day, in the day. Women are not don't have that mitzvah. Mitzvah, it's called mitzvah esesh hazmang guoma. You know this idea, mitzvah hazmang guoma. Anything that has timing, women are free of doing it. So let me ask you. She'll ask you like, well, davening you have to do three times a day, meaning it depends on the timing, right? Morning, evening, night. I don't have a mitzvah. She would say, what do you say?
Well, maybe it would be in the class of a voluntary mitzvah, that it's still...
Okay, if she wants to pray, if she wants, she won't pray. I mean, Kriya Shema, for some reason, we won't go into it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're looking at quote what Rabban says...
But she doesn't need to do prayer. She doesn't need to do
what Rabban says, you'd be chayav.
What, according to who?
Rambam, you just
why?
Because he says it's a there's no difference between that and a mitzvah saseh.
Okay, there is a mitzvah saseh of praying, but the mitzvah saseh the Rabbanon said you do it three times a day, right? So it's a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, no? Or maybe not. It has a time, morning, evening, day, right? You have a daughter?
But if it's two times a day.
You have a daughter?
Yes.
You have a daughter?
No.
Okay. I have a daughter, yeah? And I teach her halachot. She was young. I told her what the halachot. I told her, first of all, she should know. Mitzvah. That has timing. That, let's say, you have to do it in the morning, you have to do it in the night, you have to do it in the day or something. It has a timing. You don't need to do it. You don't have to. First of all. So let's say put on tzitzis, it's the mitzvah to do it on the day, so you put. You don't have to do it. Because it has a timing. But a mitzvah with no time, you have to do. Okay. So then I taught her the mitzvah of davening. You know, the halacha is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to in the morning, evening, noon. So she asked me, do I have to do it? I mean, it's a mitzvah of Shazman Groma, no?
Yeah, but it's three of them, so at one of them you could fit in somewhere.
Why?
Because it's at least once a day. It's somewhere you could fit in that one esprit. So you don't do all three, but at least one you'd be, I'd say, tired to do.
That's interesting idea that it's not, that in a sense it's not time-bound.
There is no time bound on it.
There's no Zaman.
You have nighttime, you have daytime,
yeah.
And you have afternoon. So out of that 24 hours, you could fit at least one
so
in.
So the Gemara asks this question.
Yeah.
And the Gemara says like this. Is a tefillah like korbanos? Yeah? Like korbanos, I mean, korbanos is timing, yeah?
Right.
You have to do one in the morning, one in the night. And same tefillah, you have to... And then women don't need to. Or maybe praying is, you know, begging and asking. It has no time. Yeah, you have to do it, I mean, once in the 24 hours, that's it. But it has no timing. So the Gemara says, well, davening has no time.
That's what?
Has no timing.
Oh.
The prayer of the Raisa has no timing. And that's exactly, as you say, what the Rambam says. The Rambam says the basic mitzvah assay of davening is that once in the 24 hours, once in the day, you should pray. Yeah, and it should come from your heart. It has no time. Do it whenever you want. Wherever you want. How you want. How you feel it. When you feel it. It has no time. So the Rambam says, that's why Nashim chayavim b'tfila. Women have to pray once a day. Why? Because it's mitzvah to say shelo hazman groma. It doesn't depend on time. That's the basic mitzvah that has no time. Do it whenever you feel it. That's Rambam.
So that would include the Kriya Shema and the Shmoneh Esrei.
Kriya Shema, we're not talking about Kriya Shema now. We're not talking now about Kriya
Shema.
We're talking about Shmoneh
Esrei.
Shema Yisrael, you have to do once a day. So there's a big difference between women and men. Men have
three
to
times.
Three times, because that's Rabbanon. They
right.
said three times. But it's a mitzvah says Shazman Groma. Even mitzvah says Rabbanon says Shazman Groma, they also don't need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The three times a day they don't have to do. But once a day they have to pray. In the Shmona, though they should do it in Shmona Esrei, because that's the way they pray today. So a woman can choose. She can decide what she wants to do. Wants the morning, wants Mincha, wants Maariv, whatever she wants. Usually, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that women, the good women, Nashim Tzidkaniyot, decide it should be Shachris. But it doesn't have to be Shachris. If she feels better with Mincha, let it be Mincha. As long as it's once a day.
As long as she has the time, she has to do it. Whatever she has.
Whenever she wants, yeah. And it's a big difference. So here you can see the difference between the basic halacha of tefillah, that is really comes from the heart, and comes from your feelings, and your own experience, and the idea of korbanot, that it comes already later from the Rabbanan. So again, I'm going back to what we spoke tomorrow. We should never forget. Though we men, for women it's much more easier, because for women they can go straight to the Rambam. When you say, pray whenever, whatever you feel, however you feel, you should use Shmona Esrei, that's what you should use, because that's the way Chachamim said you should use it. Okay. But do it whenever you feel it, how you feel it. If you're tired in the morning, do it in the night, in the evening. When you have the real feel, you want to pray Hashem. For us men, it's much more difficult, because we have the three times routine, three times a day. And for us, it's much more difficult. We should also not forget. Also for us, we should know. We do have the halakha of three times a day. We do have it, but still, we should never forget to do the tachanunim. We should never forget the part of the heart. Yeah? And again, if we open up the Mishnah, that's the halakha. And if we open up the Mishnah, that's what we see here. What Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel tells us, he says, let's read it. I'll be going back to the Mishnah in Masechet Avot. Now we can understand. It's just a short sentence, but what the meaning is, yeah? He says like this.
He was one of the last prophets, right?
No, it was Tanai. It was Talmud of Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says in Mishnah Perek Beis Mishnah Yud Gimel. Let's open it. It says like this: Rav Shimon Oimer, you should be careful in Kriyat Shema, and you should be careful in davening. But when you daven three times a day, you should say it three times a day, like Kriyat Shema. You must say morning and night. And it has a routine. This also has a routine. Davening also has a routine. But when you pray, don't forget. Al tasvet hakeva. Don't make it a routine, though it is a routine, actually. But don't do it that way. You should make always with heart, with prayer. You should think about, you should... Praying, you have to have kavanah. If you're just saying it, you know, just saying it, it's not... You lost the whole idea of praying. The whole idea of praying is using your heart, feeling. So you should find a minute to do it. That's what he says here, you know, in such a short sentence that he says. The halakha. It's all brought in here. That's what the Rabbi Shmuel Ben Azzai says. And that's the halakha also. When you pray, you should think about what you're saying. You should try and put a bit of heart in it as you can.
Well, you're fortunate also, and I guess it makes it a priority to give the Mina as the heart of the davening.
Yes, that's the heart of the
davening. That, you know, that we have this, you know, expanded amount of time to, to daven it. Yeah, so it's, it gives us that time to think or
right.
Feel.
Yes, it does. Yes. Right, it does. What? What?
You might want to go check. There was a bunch of crashing in your father's apartment over here from my room.
So just a minute, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all okay. So this is what he's saying. Is it understandable? Understandable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions? It's a very basic halacha in davening, so it's important. Very important.
It's the key.
What?
I guess it's the key right
there. The key of davening, right?
Every time.
So sometimes, you know, when we pray and pray and nothing, you know, it doesn't change. That's why. Because it says here, so, because it says like this. Shene'emar. Because it says, Ke'el chanun v'achum hu erech apayim v'av chesed. Because Hashem is rachamim, Hashem is, has mercy, v'nichem al ha'ra. And that's how praying and praying for mercy and going to this midas rachamim, that's how Hashem changes the ways, his ways in the world. If something is difficult for us, because Hashem, you know, it's all from Hashem, yes? If we have some problem, if something is not easy, we want something, well, ask Hashem in a way of mercy, and that's how it changes. That's the deep idea of it says. Okay. Then he says, that's with Shem ben Gamliel. Now he says something very interesting. Another part. Okay, this is understood, it's understandable. Mm-hmm. That's the ways of Hashem, the ways of davening, basically davening. Now he says another great idea. Great idea. If Shimon says, "Al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmcha," you should not be evil in your own eyes. You should not think yourself as an evil man in your own eyes. What does it mean? What does it mean?
Look bad for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look down to yourself. Don't make yourself feel low.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, first I'll say Rashi. Rashi says the basic idea, and it's as simple is, you know, don't do things that tomorrow you regret. Yeah, you know, you do things today, but look at yourself as what you know later you regret it. You say, well, that was evil. Why did I do it? So don't do it. That's Rashi. Okay. Simple explanation, right? Just don't do averus, because maybe tomorrow you regret it. Rambam. Oh, the Rambam. Rambam is so sweet. So deep. Rambam says like this. I'll quote him. As I think about you, the way you went.
Because you won't have time to do
the Rambam says like this. He says, you should be careful. Why? You should be careful. When you do an aveira, don't look down on yourself, as you say. Because if you look down on yourself, there's no way you'll change. You'll never come up.
It's like the...
Great.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I guess Rabbi Kursky's
exactly. It sounds so modern. So modern psychology, yeah. Right? Look.
Thousands of years ago.
Said... Even if you did an Aveira, and if you fell, don't say, well, I'm a Rosh anyway. Who cares? I did one Aveira, I'll do the other Aveira, because what can I do?
Yeah, I think I saw one, after the Orthodox book, but he was saying that when a person has low self-esteem, but then they also they feel that they seek they just give themselves over to pleasure, or they could do that, you know, which seems like the opposite of what I would think. You know, I think like the person thinks less of themselves. They think, okay, you know, I'm not important, so why should I focus on myself and focus on others?
Right.
But it's the other way around. The focus even more on seeking pleasure, and we also heard a rabbi say, or someone on a Torah tape who said that so the Yetzer Hara plays a trick on a person or tries to, you know, to say like, you know, if you're, it says like if you were a great tzaddik, they would make a big deal if you made an avera. And you just, You're just little you, so what does it matter if you do an Averin? And the same with a mitzvah. What does it matter if you do the mitzvah? You're just little you. And then this rabbi followed up and said, no, you know, it's like every person has to realize that they are a major player in Hashem's eyes.
Right. You're important. Every one of us is important. And even if we fell and did some Averin, it doesn't mean we're Roshayim. We should be careful about what identity, self-identity we adopt.
Yeah.
We are Jews. All of us are tzaddikim. All of Amish kulam tzaddikim. We all have greatness in us. And if we sin and we fall, it's only to fall. It happens to everyone. Even the great tzaddikim fall sometimes. But they stay tzaddikim. There's this great pasuk, parak, it says, Sheva, seven times the pol tzaddik, the ka. Seven times the tzaddik will fall, but he will get up. So I see the parish, amazing parish, says like this. What does it mean? Seven times the tzaddik will fall, but he will get up. What does it say? What's the idea here? Okay, tzaddik can also fall. Okay. Even the great tzaddik can also sin. Yes. But they'll get up. You know why? If you think you're a tzaddik, then you fall seven times. Not one. Seven times, again and again and again. But you still feel you're a tzaddik, then you get up. But if you feel that you're not a tzaddik anymore, you won't get up. That's the idea. Sheva pamim yipol tzaddik v'kam. Seven times a tzaddik will fall and come. Because as long as you feel that you're a tzaddik. Once sheva panim yipol yosha, you feel you're a rosha, you'll come. Not because there's a difference between the tzaddik. They're the same. The same. It could be the same human being, the same Jew would fall. It's the same level of mitzvahs. The same level of keeping mitzvahs. One will fall and not get up. The other one will fall and get up. What's the difference? If you're a tzaddik or not. If you feel you're a tzaddik. If you don't give hope. You say, well, okay, I fell, but I'm a tzaddik that fell. And you get up. If you say, I'm a rosha that fell, you won't get up. That's the idea. Even if you fall. And that's the basic idea of the Musa movement. That spoke a lot, Slobodka Muslim movement spoke about a lot about the idea of Gadlut Adam, the greatness of human being.
What?
The greatness of every human being, every one and one of us. You know, there was a Muslim movement, a way, a method that was saying, you know, we should doesn't feel that how low we are, how we don't deserve anything, how small we are, and how, you know, we're just human beings and so on. Came the Muslim movement and says, no, we're all great. Every one of us and every one of us have greatness in us. And every one of us is unique. And every one of us has his special instruments. How to work, how to be an Oyved Hashem. He has his own way of living. Every one of us is special. And Hashem wants us, every one of us. Yeah? And every one of his ways. That's what Hashem wants. And even if you fall, even if we sin, still Hashem loves us. Hashem wants to give back.
Yes, that's why
we all tzaddikim.
Yom Kippur for that reason.
And that's why we have Yom Kippur.
All right. But this certain averus you can't make up for.
What?
And that's what hurts. These averus, you insulted someone. The person died afterwards. Can you ask Chila? No. Do you remember how many people you insulted?
Well.
Now you got a problem.
But
you got a very great problem.
But there's still a way how to... Even then, there's a way to do tshuva. I mean, if you know the one you insulted, the one you...
Yes, I went to the person's grave, then I went to his kids.
You go to his
grave. I prayed that he would drop dead. All right, and it happened. I prayed that he would drop dead.
What?
I prayed that he should drop dead.
Who?
A relative of mine.
Okay, and?
That hurt the family a lot.
And?
He died.
And
right
he
away.
Died. So?
10 years later, I went to his children after.
Okay, that's great.
All right, that's great. So that one I took care of.
Good.
What about the other ones that you don't remember? How do you do the tshuva?
So the way you do tshuva is?
Tshuva for Hashem, that you can do.
Look, it's very simple. It's very simple. The Torah, we know one thing. The Torah was not given to angels. It's given to human beings, okay? So it's very simple. There's always a way. The question is, what's the way? Okay? If you remember and you know, you must ask a mechila. You can't ignore it. You can't, you know, sit at home and say, no. There is. But if you don't remember and you don't know, there's ways. What's the ways? You do something that's good for the public. And if you do something that's good for the public, then you can be sure that in a certain way, or he or him himself, or one of his children, or one of his relatives, would also get benefit from it. Let's say, for example, there was someone, it's written in the Gemara, there was someone.
Oh my goodness, it's certain.
What?
I'm recording with that. It's okay.
Let's say, for example, there was someone who started, someone who stole. He stole from a few people. He didn't remember who they were, or he didn't know who they were. This happens, yeah. So what the Gemara says is, he should fix a citron of water that the public uses. In that way, everyone in this town, benefits. In this city, will have benefit from it. And for sure, he get our children from that water citron, yeah. So the same idea is also today. Let's say someone did today something. He stole from the public, or he stole from someone he didn't remember in any or who he was. He doesn't remember. He doesn't know he stole from maybe one, maybe two, maybe three. He doesn't remember that. Do something good for the public. You know, give out maybe today's idea. The same would be like, you know, Sefer Torah for the public. Give donation for Beis Medrash where many people come in, you know, give for a few days the tea and coffee.
That will take away that amazing.
Yes, yeah, because there's always a way. Mm-hmm. There's always a way. If you remember, that's different. It won't help. If you know who you stole from, you know who you did it,
then
you go to him. You don't. There's no way around. No way around. Because then you can. If you have the power, you have the way. Right. Do it. If not, give something to the public. Hashem will already settle it that he's going to get something from it. Okay? But that's what you can do. You do what you can do. There's always a way. Always
well, a way. Science tells you.
Yeah.
Don't look down at yourself.
Yes.
Don't make yourself like a nobody.
Exactly. Never. Sure. Nobody. No Jew is a nobody. But more than that, no Jew is a sinner. You should never think yourself as a sinner. I mean, others can maybe think of themselves whatever they want. But you, on your own identity, your own way you look at yourself, you should always know you're a tzaddik. You're basically a tzaddik. You're in the basic, even if you did the greatest sins, still, you are still, the inside is a Jew, and a Jew is a tzaddik, and you can always come back. Always. There's always a way. Because the inside has a spark of lightness. Just let it shine. That's what it says. It sounds so modern and so, you know, it's like new age talk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's thousands of years ago. This is the basic, and let's remember who said it. Who said it? Rabbi Shimon ben Asalel, that he's the one, he's like the, I would say, the character, that would say he's the racial man. That's the one that Yerucham and Zakkai gave him the title of a Yerechit, someone who's afraid of sins. He's the one, the real tzaddik, yeah. But he says, well, I know if some people sin. I mean, I don't know if he sinned, if he's the one that's called the tzaddik, yeah. He says, I know. I'm the one who's working myself. I know the way, because it's from his own experience. That's how he developed himself. That's how he grew up. Till he got the title of Yerechet, of Yerushalmai. That's what he says. That's the power. That's the main core. You know, you should be a tzaddik for always you, for yourself. And that way you'll never do chet. If you do, you mend it, you fix it. Okay. So